Let us all say amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but Paul said that if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, Paul said, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yes, I don't know about you. I know which way I'm going, because I have made up my mind that I am going to serve God the way he requires me to serve him. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. I don't know about you. Life is beautiful. Amen. Even though I've lost some good friends along the way, life is still beautiful because those individuals died in the Lord. And my Bible says they rest from their labor and their works do follow them. So, you know, sad but a glorious day, knowing that the God of heaven who we serve has promised that he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us. So it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. Those of you that are visiting, we want you to know that you are an honored guest, and we hope and pray something can be said from the Word of God that will cause you to think about your soul salvation. No accident that you're here. I believe this is all part of God's providence to get you to see what he requires of mankind. The God that we serve, John chapter 3, verse 16, we know that by heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul said, God demonstrated how much he loved mankind. And I go a step further. God demonstrated how much he loved Stan. Because he sent his Son to die on the cross for me. And I take that very personal. I take my relationship to God very, very personal. And so if you don't, that's between you and your God. Because I know who brought me out of the cesspools of immorality. I know who cleaned me up and said, now go proclaim my word to a lost world. And because of his goodness, I can stand before you and proclaim the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, round about verse number 13, the Bible said when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And if I was to ask you this morning, who do you say that Jesus is? Would you be like everybody else? He's one of the prophets. He might be John the Baptist. We really don't know who he is. But I'm glad we got a Peter up in the household, because Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And I don't know about you. You go back and you look at that word, living. God is alive and well inside of me. And if he's dead in you, I feel sorry for you. Amen. The God I serve is alive. And because he lives, I live. And that's why every single day I can glorify his holy and divine name. Regardless of how I feel or how I look or how I behave, the God that I serve says, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. I'm tired of y'all's burdens. I want the burden that comes from Jesus Christ. And when you do his will, he said through the wisest man on the face of the earth, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace. Boy, I know what the book says. The book says when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll even give him the desires of his heart. Boy, and you know those desires have but one purpose, to glorify him. It's not to do your thing. I better drop that in, because you'll leave here saying, God bless me to do my thing. No, no, he has blessed you to go out and bless someone else. Amen. So my job this morning, for those of you that are visiting and for members of the body of Christ, my job is to warn you that one day he gonna stop time. Ezekiel chapter 33 and chapter 37. The Bible said, God said, I place a watchman before you. And if the watchman see danger coming and warn the people and they die in their sins, their blood will I not hold on the watchman's hand. But if the watchman see dangers coming and refuse to blow the horn and warn the people and they die in their sins, then will I hold on the watchman's hand. So I'm going to tell it like a T.I. is. Whether you like it or not, God is going to hold you accountable. So my job is to make sure the stand is free from your blood. Amen. I got enough blood on my hand for my own. I don't need yours. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11. Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplieth, that in all things God might be glorified. Because judgment is going to begin at the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely make it, man, you can come on Sundays, come on Wednesdays, and still not make it in. If the righteous scarcely make it, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? I don't know about you. This is the day that the Lord has made. And like the psalmist, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Nothing else really matters to me but proclaiming the word of God. And for those of you that are visiting, you need to understand that God has brought you here for a purpose, that you must obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and round about verse number 1, Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. My job is to proclaim to those of you that are here this morning that Jesus came and died on a cross to reconcile man back to his Father. Genesis chapter 1, when he made man in his own image. Genesis chapter 2, he made woman out of man. He told him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. When man messed up in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, God saw a need to reconcile man back to him. Genesis chapter 3 and round about verse number 15, he prepared Jesus to come to take away the sins of the world. Hallelujah, praise his name. I'm saved. I don't know about you. But I got some words that will help you to be saved this morning. Amen. Church, I don't know. Somewhere down the line, either we believe it, or we should just close the doors and go on home. Amen, Walls. I don't know about you. When I was in the world, I was a worldly person. Amen. Paul said I was chief among sinners. I was his second mate. But when I obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, I'm learning to keep my eyes on the cross. Because see, when I look at you, amen, Walls, you cause me to stumble. Amen. Especially if we're not doing what God requires of each and every one of us. That's right. I want you to buckle your spiritual seatbelts. I want you to really hold on tight to your seat. Because I might have to rock you just a little bit to get us to see how important it is that we need to stop tiptoeing through the tulips. Amen. And understand what God requires of us. Matthew chapter 5 verses 13 and following, he says, we're the light of the world. But if the light is not shining, what is the world gonna do? We are the salt of the earth. We're supposed to help men out of darkness into a marvelous light, but you can't help nobody as long as you are in darkness. So I want you to just put on your seatbelts, because it might get just a little rough this morning. I want to preach this message this morning as if it is my last one, and it possibly can be my last one. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, as he prepared to leave and the church there and go on into Ephesus, he said, I want to bring you to count this day. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, and I know after my departure, ravishing wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. He was telling the elders, take heed, be aware, because Satan is alive and well, and he has but one purpose, and that's to destroy the body of Christ. But he reminds those elders there, stand fast. understand what God requires of you. I said all of that to bring you to our lesson text this morning. I don't know about you. I'm excited because God is good to me. I don't know what he's good to you about, but he's good to me. And the reason he's so good, he forgave me of all the dirt. Oh, yeah, I know most preachers don't like to talk about their dirt, but I don't mind because my life is supposed to be a testimony to you. I told you on last time I saw you, we did the funeral over there for a good friend of mine. He wanted me to preach his eulogy. This friend got up and said he believed in Jesus Christ and he lived his life the way Jesus said. And I told him, brother, you just preached my message. My testimony shouldn't have to come from a man that do my eulogy. My life ought to be a eulogy that man see every single day. And when men see that we live for Jesus Christ, you don't have to open your mouth. But Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, writes these words to this young gospel preacher. Timothy had some problems, and his biggest problem was that he was not a Jew. And them Jews wanted him to be circumcised so he could be accepted into the Jewish kingdom. But at this time, the church has already been established. And so Paul writes these words. You got a young man. How many of us like to listen to young men? You don't have to. No, you don't. but I want to show you this morning that Timothy, a young gospel preacher, Paul has to write these words to remind Timothy, gird up of your mind. Be sober. Be watchful. Why? Because you're going to have some problems dealing with them old folk. Amen, Walls. I want to show you this morning that as he writes this letter, he reminds Timothy, because you've obeyed from the heart, Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18, the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. You've obeyed the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have been added to the body of Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Why am I giving you all this Bible? Because you need to know what the Bible says. Because of all of this, Timothy, you're going to have some problems. You ever notice that when you speak the truth, you can show separate people from... Oh, y'all don't have that problem? Well, you got to ask yourself what truth you're speaking. Because when you speak the truth, you stop gossiping. Amen, Walls. When you speak the truth, you don't want to hear all of this foolishness. And so Paul writes these words to this young gospel preacher and reminding Timothy that in the midst of everything that goes on, Timothy, you're going to have to do something that might not be pleasant to those around you. Your seatbelts buckle? Pull them a little tighter, because I want to climb you about 35,000 feet. And then after I take you that high, I'm going to drop you in on reality. Amen. Not every one of us are going to be saved. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and round about verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but whosoever doeth the will of the Father, and that's the key, doing the will of the Father. Title of the lesson is, there's much to do. What are you doing? I better say that again in case I missed you. There is much to do. What are you doing? Have we become like Israel, Eze and Zion? Have we become to the point to where this is just something that we do because of routine? Is it something that we do not realizing and recognizing that we're supposed to serve God with a pure heart? We're supposed to serve him and our lives are supposed to be an example of who we say we have obeyed. And so Paul here writes these words to this young gospel preacher. And as we look at him this morning, I want to show you that Paul has some concerns in reference to Timothy. He says in verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and at his kingdom. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Preach it when you want to hear it and preach it when you don't. That's why you better pull that seatbelt just a little bit tighter, because you might not want to hear what I got to say in the next few minutes. But he says, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come. Let me drop my hat there for just a minute. We live in an ungodly world around us. And if anybody ought to be living right, it ought to be us. If anybody ought to be committed, it ought to be us. If anyone can show that Jesus is alive and well, it ought to be us. But where are we? What are we really doing? We're so busy doing our thing that we only do the Lord's thing on Sunday morning. Amen, Walls. Y'all quiet. Pull your belt a little tighter, because you're going to get a little quieter before I'm finished. He goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure, when they will not listen to, when they will not follow sound doctrine. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? What have you command me, Jesus? Matthew chapter 22, around about 36 through 40. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor how? As yourself. See, God gave us some commandments, and sometimes it's difficult to keep. And you know why it's difficult? You just don't want to do it. Amen. He goes on to tell Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, if you came to get itched today, you're going to have to find somebody else.
Amen.
And we like to have itchy ears, don't we? We like to be stroked, don't we? We like everyone to know, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm doing nothing, but I'm a Christian. That's right. Pull that belt a little tighter. You can still breathe, can't you? Okay. The Bible says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Have we turned away from the truth? Luke 19, verse number 10, the Son of Man has come to what? Seek and save the lost. What's our job? What's our responsibility? Seek and save the lost. Have we turned away from the truth? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and have committed unto us. What? The ministry. Reconciliation. You've been saved to help somebody else be saved. But how can you help somebody else when you can't even help yourself? Pull that belt a little tighter. By now, you ought not to be able to breathe too good. But church, I just stopped by this morning to help us to see there is much to do. And you got to ask yourself, what am I really doing in the kingdom of God? Am I standing on the premises and sitting in the pews? Or am I standing on the premises and going out seeking and saving the lost? Paul tells this young gospel preacher that they're going to turn away from the truth and be turned unto fables, a lie. You can come when you feel like it. You don't have to do nothing God say. Once saved, always saved. You're all right. That's a lie. I just stopped by this morning to tell you, you can't do your own thing and think you're going to make heaven your home. Amen. S-I-N, self-induced nonsense, is what we all fall into. But what makes the difference is whether or not you stay in that self-induced nonsense. He says you're going to turn away from the truth and be turned unto fables. Verse number 5, Paul writes these words to remind this young gospel preacher, but watch thou in all things. That's right. Watch your life, Timothy. Be an example, Timothy. Watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Verses 6 through 8. That's where I'm going to drop my hat for the next few minutes. Paul says, for the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me, but unto all them that love his appearance. Yes. Paul tells this young gospel preacher, gird up the loins of your mind, Timothy. Time is going to get rough to when nobody going to listen to you, Timothy. Timothy, I want to encourage you. You need to be watchful in what you teach. You need to be watchful in your lifestyle. And then you must continue to be the example when nobody really wants to follow you. I've learned that in my Christian walk, as long as Jesus is walking with me, I don't need nobody else. You can walk with me as long as we walk the way he walks. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12. Paul tells Timothy once again, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Paul tells Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of hand of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, that thy lifestyle may be evidence to all around us. And let me stop right there. Your life ought to tell people who you are. We got more Jesus on the bumper sticker and around our neck than we have in our hearts. Amen. And that ought not to be so. Amen. People ought to know who we are simply by the way we live our lives. And when we open our mouths, people ought to be just blown away that you speak as the oracles of God. Yeah. And so Paul tells Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting, that thy lifestyle may be apparent to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I don't know about you. I've learned to stay with the word of God. Amen. There's much to do. What are you really doing? And somewhere down the line, you're going to ask this question. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord. Now, you can blame me all day long, but you're going to stand on your own merits. That's why I'm making sure that I make my calling, I didn't say my family's, my calling an election sure. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to stick with the word of God. In our lesson text here, the Apostle Paul writes these words to this young gospel preacher, reminding him and telling him, preach and teach the word of God and be watchful in your lifestyle. Be steadfast and unmovable in the things that you say and do, and allow no one to hinder you, no one to discourage you, no one to hinder you in your Christian walk. How do I do that, Paul? Point number one, stay focused on the cross. That's right. I'm learning that when I see the cross, I really don't see you. Amen. I've learned to hide behind the cross. So when you mess with me, guess what you're messing with? The cross. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all gone on back to sleep. I'll be through in a minute. Stay focused on the cross. The way I stay focused on the cross is understand what Jesus have done for me. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose his life, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, Jesus says, you'll find it. And then he raises a question, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Point number two, how do I stay focused on Jesus Christ? Develop Christ's mindset. Amen. That's right. Amen. Jesus had a mindset. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience. How? By the things that he suffered. You know, sometimes we suffer and we don't learn nothing from it. Amen, Walls. Sometimes we put ourselves in situations and we learn absolutely nothing from that. Yes. Preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. I've done it. Amen. And I'm learning that as I go through the trials and tribulations, I need to understand that God's there with me.
Yes. Amen.
What's the problem? Well, I don't depend on him because I think I can handle this. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all gone on back wherever you're at. And I'm learning that when you depend on God, God takes care of everything else. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and right about verse 12 and 13, there's no temptation that has overtaken you, such as common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful. What's the problem, God? I ain't as faithful as you are. Amen. Why? Well, I believe you and I'm in this just in case the story's true, but if it ain't true, I want to do my... Tighten that belt just a little tighter. Yes. Don't pass out on me. Yes. Don't pass out. We're descending right now. Amen. Church, somewhere down the line, this has to take hold of us. Right. If we're going to change the world in which we live in, you got to first and foremost change it in your household.
Amen.
That's right. That's the problem with the world we live in. The household is out of order. And when the house is out of order, you can't expect to get any order anywhere else. You don't believe me? You're looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. If he's head of the church, then who told you you can do your thing and be okay?
Amen.
Amen. I'm the head of my house, and I'm glad I got a neck that allows me to be the head.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me this morning. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Therefore, the wife should be subject to her husband in all things. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it.
Amen.
Drop down around about verse number 30 in that same text. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ, the church.
Amen.
Who told you you can do whatever you want to do? Mm-hmm. Loosen your seatbelt, because you're about to pass out on me. Loosen your belt. We're descending. We're about at 30,000 feet, but we still got just a little ways to go. Church, I'm trying to get us to see the importance. Why sit here till we die?
Amen.
You can die on your own. You don't need me to die with you. I've made up my mind. I'm going to heaven, and I want to go with those that want to go.
Glory.
Amen. Why? Because if we don't, church, we will not make heaven our home. We must learn to develop the mind of Christ. Paul said to the church in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself.
Yeah.
That's the problem in America.
Yeah.
We are afraid to make ourselves humble and submissive to what God requires.
Yes.
And you know what? God said, I'll show you just like I showed Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We want a judge, so it'll judge us like all the rest of the nation. We want kings like all the other nations. God told the prophet, give them what they want. Loosen your seatbelt a little more. We're about at 25,000 feet, because some of y'all already done passed out on me. Give the people what they want. And when you give them what they want, you tell them what I said. They're going to mistreat you. They're going to misuse you. They're going to have you in total disarray to where you're not going to even love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that today? If you don't, you're blind. The world we live in is in a mess. And you know why? Because as God's people, we have left God. Revelations chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. John, as he's in exile on the island of Patmos, and I believe he's the only one that's left, as he writes to the seven churches in the Asia Minor area, as he writes to them, each one of those churches, those seven churches, have a problem. But there was one church there that Jesus has something to say about there. He says, I know your works. I know your deeds. I know you, those that say they're apostles and they're not. I know you can't stand anything that's false. But Jesus says, I have something against you. Loosen your seatbelt. You have left your first love. How many of us have left our first love? The watery grave. You was excited. You were motivated. Loosen your seatbelt a little more. Y'all dropping off on me. But have you left your first love? Where is the excitement of being a child of God? Where is the motivation of being able to do his will of God, the will of God? Where is the believer that's willing to stand and say, I believe, and my life is going to be an example of what I believe.
Yes.
When it's time for the church to assemble, where you at? See, there's much to do. But you got to ask yourself a question. What are you doing? James raised a question. Faith without works is dead. You can't work your way to heaven, but you can't sit there either.
Amen.
Final point. Loosen your seatbelt. We're at about 10,000 feet. Wheels are down. We're ready to descend. We got clearance for the final approach. And as we're coming in, the runway is straight in front of us. No clouds in the sky. No turbulence. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all go on back wherever you at. I want to show you that when you do things God's way, boy, he bring about a peace that surpasses understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, he gives us a peace that guards our heart, our mind. How? In Christ Jesus. Final point, how does Paul encourage Timothy to stay on the right track to preach the word? He tells Timothy, stay with the gospel. Because this is the gospel that saved men from their sin. The Bible says you hear the word. You've heard it this morning. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says you got to believe what I preach. John chapter 20, verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you must repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your name, except you repent, you'll perish. The Bible says you must confess that he is the Son of a living God.
Amen.
Matthew 10, 32, 33. Jesus says, confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men, and I'll deny you before my Father. The back wheels have just touched down. The nose is easing down. As a nose drop, pilot applies the brakes, reverse the engines. How do you know that, Stan? I know a little more than what you think I know. And as the end of the runway approaches, the pilot steps on the brakes even that much more. See, hear, believe, repent, confess only brings you unto salvation.
That's right.
It's that watery grave over there that puts us into Christ. He's rolling up to the terminal. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Unbuckle your seatbelts and be ready to go. Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart. Oh, I don't know about you. When I stop and think about the goodness of God and he saw fit to add me to the body of Christ. Boy, I can't help myself but to preach and teach the unadulterated truth of the gospel. And I want to encourage us, church, those of us who are members of the body of Christ. There's much to do. What are you doing? Peter says it's best that you don't even know the truth.
That's right.
Than to know it.
Yes.
And turn from it.
Yeah.
Oh yes, that's some scary stuff. To know the truth and still not make heaven your home. Those of you that are visiting, want to encourage you. Jesus said in the book of Revelation chapter 2, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would just open the door. That's what I like about Jesus. Boy, when they told me he would forgive me of all of the dirt that I had done, you got some too, you just don't want to recognize it. But all the dirt that I had done, I told them, take me to the water. Be going to make me brand new. Well, what about Lottie, Dottie, and everybody? Don't worry about them.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a clean conscience.
Yes,
and you can go out and glorify my holy and divine name. Church, that's why I do what I do. Not because of you. Because I know what he did on Calvary's mountain. He died to clean me up. And I'm a living testimony that if you let go and let God, he will make you what he would have you to be. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.